Section 2. Movement and Maneuver, Getting to the Point of Contact. Chapter 4. Movement and Maneuver During Large-Scale Combat Operations, Critical Offensive Considerations at the Battalion Level and Below. Introduction. In large-scale combat operations, LISCO, our units attack into the teeth of peer or near-peer defenses. Battles stress warfighting functions, WFFs, at all echelons. To succeed, we must prepare for an enemy that fights harder and earlier, incorporates chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear seaburn operations, contests the air domain, and makes greater demands of our command posts, CPs, and communications than which we are currently accustomed. Probable line of contact, transitioning from movement to maneuver. The greater lethality of peer and near-peer threats demands our units win at initial contact. This further increases the importance of intelligence analysis to include understanding key high-threat weapon systems and the probable line of contact, PLC. A PLC is a general trace delineating the locations where friendly and enemy forces are likely to become engaged. Leaders from the small unit level to the Brigade Combat Team, BCT Headquarters, HQ, must understand the PLC and set conditions for combat before they cross it. The PLC is not a doctrinal output of Intelligence Preparation of the Battlefield, IPB, but instead generates from the situation template, which includes maximum engagement lines, and the event template, which includes threat decision points. Readers unfamiliar with the PLC may recognize its analog in counterinsurgency, COIN-era pre-mission briefs. During the COIN-focused era, units excelled at gathering, fusing, and disseminating multi-source intelligence to ultimately show small units the location of potential improvised explosive devices, IEDs, and ambushes. Planning for the PLC is conceptually the same. In LISCO, the IED or ambush translates directly to the enemy weapon system, most notably anti-tank AT missiles, that disables or destroys friendly combat power before it reaches the objective. In LISCO, units must use the PLC to synchronize assets before contact. For example, a battalion, BN, might direct companies to fly Raven Small Unmanned Aircraft Systems, UASs, one intervisibility line before reaching the PLC, observing named areas of interest, NAIs, before making contact. Meanwhile, BN scouts short of the PLC might call indirect fire to suppress enemy locations and support friendly maneuver with obscuration. Attacking infantry companies may drop dismounts before crossing the PLC, denying the enemy the ability to mass fires on mounted platforms. Dismounted infantry forces then seize complex terrain, finding and neutralizing the enemy. As units set conditions before making contact, armored formations transition to maneuver and attack across the PLC in bounding overwatch. Doctrinally, a unit transitions from troop movement to maneuver once it crosses the line of departure, LD. The LD and the PLC should roughly coincide unless the tactical situation indicates the LD must be elsewhere. Recognizing the enemy's scheme of maneuver may be more complex than simply fighting at a templated objective is vital. Maneuver BN's training at the National Training Center, NTC, sometimes fixate on their assigned objectives and fail to plan for a potential enemy short of or beyond the objective. Units that do not consider enemy reconnaissance and security elements when assessing the PLC find their small units inadvertently bypass these enemy forces, often while still in vulnerable movement formations. In LISCO, these enemy formations include AT positions and mounted and dismounted observation posts, OPs, hidden in key and/or complex terrain. Failing to delineate the correct PLC exposes close combat elements to flanking fire, decimating their combat power long before approaching the objective. Battalion sustainment in the offense. Armored Brigade Combat Team, ABCT, and Striker Brigade Combat Team, SBCT, maneuver BNs in LISCO tend to stretch line of communications locks quickly. Longer locks complicate the entire sustainment enterprise. Proper preparation, training, and planning can overcome much of this friction. Sustainment under large-scale combat operations. Small units must create load plans that reduce the burden on the distribution system as much as possible. SBCT companies have the capability to be self-sustained for up to 72 hours of continuous operations. ABCT platforms have the capability to carry enough Class 1 and 5 to be self-sufficient for lengthy periods, but need regular resupply of Class 3 to maintain combat operations. In the coin era, the predominant means of supply distribution was supply point distribution out of established bases and outposts, which requires unit representatives to pick up their supplies. However, in LISCO offensive operations, supply point distribution does not keep entire BNs resupplied. In fact, as locks stretch and subordinate units disperse in accordance with operation plans, OPLANs, unit distribution, a method of distributing supplies by which the receiving unit is issued supplies in its own area, with transportation furnished by the issuing agency, is the only effective method of distribution. In all LISCO scenarios, unit leaders need to be aware that the volume of enemy contact and limited stocks of critical supplies require prioritization and higher headquarters-imposed limits in the form of controlled supply rates, CSRs. This is especially true for Class 5. Proper engagement criteria and accurate consumption reporting of items such as javelin missiles, mortar ammunition, and main battle tank rounds are crucial to ensuring units conserve critical resources and convey the appropriate demand signals to the Army. The limits imposed by long lead considerations directly and indirectly affect BCTs and BNs tasked with fighting. Units also need to recognize mortuary affairs, MA capabilities, are limited. Most BCT-level MA elements can handle approximately 20 deceased soldiers per day. As such, rates of friendly forces killed in action, KIA, will likely exceed the capacity of the MA system. Therefore, units should consider what they could do at their level to consolidate KIAs and mark them for collection and processing after winning during initial contact. The single most critical BN-level sustainment action is arguably the accurate and timely reporting of logistics status, logstat reports, and consumption reports. Even in our current operational environment, company and below-level leaders often do not understand the criticality of timely and accurate logstat reporting. LISCO pressure increases the problems created by poor logstat reporting. Inaccurate or delayed reports waste valuable time and resources. A distribution element moving forward with too much or too little information risks critical assets and soldiers unnecessarily. Combined with longer locks and a potentially broader battlefield, misallocating resources at the BN level may create BCT-level risk. Accurate logstat reporting must be taught, practiced, and enforced at home station. Medical considerations. Medical plans for BNs in LISCO must achieve three basic goals. Provide immediate life-saving self and buddy aid, treatment. Provide medical assets as far forward as possible, command and control, C2, and mass tactical evacuation, TACEVAC, including medical evacuation, medevac, and casualty evacuation, CASEVAC capabilities. LISCO often precludes rapid evacuation because of the contested air domain, longer ground locks, and a more lethal enemy. Therefore, units must properly plan, prepare, and coordinate the entire medical system, from individual skills to BN-level collective tasks, to be successful. As in the current operational environment, effective and immediate life-saving self and buddy aid requires training to standard at home station. Sustainment training is also key. A combat lifesaver, CLS course, and similar classes teach immediate lifesaving skills, but as with any other skill, they atrophy if not practiced. Medical C2 requires decisions to support maneuver companies without accepting too much risk to medical assets. Timely TACAVAC to the next echelon of medical care presents risk, especially in the offense as locks stretch. To address these concerns, company-level leaders, in coordination with medical leaders at the BN level, must plan and prepare to conduct CASEvac operations back to the Role 1 without attached medical assets. Conversely, leaders at the BN level should consider the costs and benefits of attaching Medevac assets to the companies to assist in treatment and evacuation. Leaders at the BN level must consider pre-planned jumps of the Role 1 to reduce travel time from the forward line of own troops, FLOT, back to Role 1, have contingency plans in place in case casualties are taken during a Role 1 jump, and delegate authority to jump to the medical platoon leader as necessary if the operational situation deviates from the plan. Use of the different forms of Role 1 setup, including tailgate, hasty, and full, is crucial for the Role 1 to be able to maintain mobility, proximity, and continuity of care. Practicing bounding medical coverage via split capability is an effective tactic, technique, and procedure, TTP, to maintain proximity while the BN is actively treating and evacuating casualties to the Role 1. Treatment Team B, Forward Aid Station, FAS, jumps to the next templated Role 1 location while Treatment Team A, Main Aid Station, MAS, continues to treat and evacuate to the next echelon of care. Once the FAS is established and receiving patients, the MAS jumps forward to re-establish the Battalion Aid Station, BAS. The split capability is not a TTP for prolonged use, but allows the BN to push medical capability forward without losing continuity of care. Positioning medical assets as far forward as the tactical situation allows is a crucial step in saving lives in a LISCO fight. Mass casualty, mass cal producing events in LISCO are the norm and overwhelm standard TACAVAC capabilities. Therefore, units can expect patients to exceed their golden hour, the one-hour evacuation to higher care standard that became the norm during COIN-focused operations. Options for prolonged field care allow for casualty treatment and stabilization at the lowest level until evacuation is possible. At the BN level and below, the U.S. Army Medical Center of Excellence is moving forward with enhanced medic training, additional equipment such as blood transfusion kits, additional medical evacuation vehicles, MEVs for SBCTs, and initiatives such as Mobile Medic, a telehealth system that can communicate with other echelons of care while monitoring a patient. All of these initiatives are in development but not yet fielded. As a result, until units are capable of prolonged field care, they must address the use and massing of TACAVAC capability. BN planners must consider the consolidation of TACAVAC assets at a central location or ambulance release point, ARP, to surge capabilities forward when required. For example, a BN tasked with breaching an obstacle and securing complex urban terrain will likely experience a mass cal event at the breach and within the foothold in the urban area. BN and BCT plans should account for this and have appropriate TACAVAC assets staged in an ARP, one or two intravenous IV lines away from the breach, so they can rapidly respond to the company casualty collection point, CCP, and move casualties to the appropriate echelon of care. Alternatively, the BNFAS can move into the foothold on the heels of the lead combat elements. In this model, the FAS establishes triage, treatment, and stabilization at the foothold until the situation permits the movement of TACAVAC platforms through the breach. As discussed in the next section, medical leaders in BNs must prepare for a seaburn environment and should have standard operating procedures, SOPs, and training in place to conduct patient decontamination operations. Chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear defense preparedness. In LISCO, units must be prepared to continue offensive operations while under seaburn attack. An untrained unit that pauses and struggles to effectively maintain operational tempo in the face of a seaburn attack becomes even more vulnerable to the enemy. Before crossing the LD, BNs must determine the appropriate mission-oriented protective posture MOP level based on accurate intelligence analysis. An accurate MOP level prior to departure allows an already semi-protected unit to get into the proper posture more quickly and resume operations rapidly. As such, individual seaborne defense competence is the most critical aspect of a unit's readiness to continue operations. Units must train on the individual seaborne tasks outlined in Soldier Training Publication STP 21-1-SMCT Soldier's Manual of Common Tasks Warrior Skills Level 1, 7 November 2019, consistently to ensure units can operate effectively in a seaborne environment. Most importantly, personnel must know how to assume MOP Level 4 correctly and rapidly to protect the force and enable operational continuity. At the small unit level, select personnel must train to correctly use Joint Chemical Agent Detectors, JCADs, and/or M256 kits to determine the type of agent present, its persistency, and to create a Seaburn 1 report to send up the chain of command. Accurate detection enables commanders to decide when to downgrade protective postures and if or when decontamination operations should commence. If facing a non-persistent agent in LISCO, units should continue operations and wait for the threat to dissipate. If the agent is persistent, the commander may choose to decontaminate personnel and equipment when the tactical situation permits. Decontamination operations must be planned at the BN and BCT level. BNs must be aware their organic decontamination capabilities are finite and limited, and that they will likely require support if the seaburn attack affects large elements. In LISCO, BCTs will likely receive an attached decontamination company to fill gaps in organic capabilities. Both echelons must plan decontamination operations with clean water being the critical limiting factor. In extremis, a forward support company's FSCs or brigade support battalions BSBs water buffaloes and other water transport equipment may be used. However, this equipment has limited capacity and once used in a decontamination role, units must clean and inspect them before holding potable drinking water again. As a corollary, LISCO demands units plan and prepare for patient decontamination. Units must establish clean and dirty routes to and from the patient decontamination location, whether or not operational decontamination is also being conducted. The BN Seaburn officer and the medical officer, MEDO, jointly contribute to this plan. Although operational decontamination assets are not specifically designated to decontaminate patients, they can be used in that role if necessary. Air defense. In LISCO, dominance of the air cannot be assumed. Units must alter their worldview and security posture to include looking up. Army forces can expect the air situation to range from no control to a parity situation to local air superiority in a specific area to air supremacy over the entire operational area. Therefore, units must train and prepare to defend themselves from enemy air assets that range from small UASs, rotary wing RW attack aviation, and fixed wing aviation platforms. Maneuver BNs can expect to attach and work with short-range air defense AD systems. These critical assets should be employed in accordance with the BCT's overall AD plan, be dispersed to provide coverage over elements on the defended asset list, maximize the area covered, and have interlocking fields of fire to increase the probability of neutralizing air threats. Units must designate and train air guards at echelon and in every moving element to scan for enemy aircraft. Units must ensure air guards have access to communication systems to rapidly report the presence of enemy air threats across the force. Even though dedicated AD soldiers are not on current BCT Modified Table of Organization and Equipment, MTO, every formation, including headquarters and sustainment elements, should resource and train shoulder-launched AD missile Stinger teams. BN level planners should also keep in mind their organic heavy machine guns, Bradley Fighting Vehicle, BFV, 25mm chain guns, and Javelin systems are fully capable of conducting AD. Training at home station should include virtual or simulated air engagements with these systems. For planning and preparation, it may be useful to identify vehicles, weapon systems, and operators tasked specifically with using them in an AD role. BNs should expect to integrate with their BCT's overall AD-C2 scheme. However, in the absence of a BCT Air Defense Artillery ADA-C2 plan, BN should consider creating an air guard net that allows instantaneous communication between AD assets. An air guard net is useful in coordinating for multi-angle and volley fire techniques to neutralize enemy air threats. Because BNs are limited in the number of nets to prioritize for retransmission, BN-level commanders and planners must conduct the proper IPB and threat analysis to determine if employing an air guard net should be prioritized. In addition to these active assets, planners and commanders must also train and implement passive AD measures. Passive AD involves positioning, dispersion, hardening of positions, camouflage, cover, and protection. Command posts and command and control. Given the expected scale of LISCO offensive operations, BNs must have CP and C2 plans that account for the likelihood that maneuver elements move beyond conventional single-channel ground and airborne radio system, SINGAR's frequency modulation FM radio range. BN primary, alternate, contingency, and emergency PACE communications plans must cover a varying range of systems to be as redundant and effective as possible. BNs should also consider determining multiple PACE plans segregated by reporting requirement or WFF. For example, the operational maneuver PACE plan may prioritize SINGARs followed by high-frequency HF radios, and then move to Joint Capabilities Release, JCR, Joint Battle Command Platform, JBCP systems. However, the logistics PACE plan may be exactly the opposite. Because of the high volume of information required in logstat, maintenance, and consumption reports, it may be appropriate to prioritize JCR-JBCP first and then move to FM reporting on the administration and logistics net. Retransmission teams must train and be equipped to properly conduct terrain analysis and maintain their communication systems. BN planners must place them to maximize radio retransmission and be able to make recommendations on displacement when communications become degraded. BN S6s should not be the only ones planning retransmission. S2s and S3s must provide input like any other shaping effort. BNs should also train and equip company-level leaders to establish hasty retransmission nodes with any vehicle that has two radios to provide in-extremis retransmission from company trains or another forward node. HF radios are an underused capability, which augments and sometimes replaces SINGAR's radios. Inherently long-range, secure, and resilient in the face of electronic warfare, EW, HF radios are ideally suited to enable communications in LISCO. There are generally limited HF radios available to maneuver BNs, so planners must ensure their proper distribution to enable effective C2. Units must train regularly on the use of HF radio systems, since their operation and maintenance is more involved than standard SINGAR's radios. HF radio training must include wave propagation theory, antenna theory, and other concepts critical for effective use. For HF radios to be truly effective, the BCT must develop and implement the HF radio network across the formation. Although a BN has the capability to implement its own network, doing so isolates the network and precludes communication with the BCT or sister BNs. The high tempo of LISCO dictates main command post MCP displacement must be carefully synchronized with the maneuver plan, so critical capabilities are not lost during periods when they are most necessary. For example, the Advanced Field Artillery Tactical Data System, AFATADS, is critical for fire support, But Maneuver BNs only have a single system under current MTO, adding to the complexity. The system is best used operating from the HALT and on a Warfighter Information Network Tactical WIN-T network. Experience in the current operational environment shows enemy forces couple EW assets with artillery to ruthlessly target our C2 nodes. In LISCO, units can expect the same high-threat environment for CPs at all echelons. To survive and operate, BNs must begin by having a general understanding of each C2 node's and system's electromagnetic EM signature, a fully established BN MCP with multiple generators, amplified SYNCGARS nets, satellite communications, and the range of WIN-T equipment has an enormous EM signature. An MCP intentionally established with purely analog capability may be less effective, but significantly more survivable. BNs must balance survivability and effective C2 by choosing when, where, and how often to operate the systems in their C2 nodes. Depending on the tactical situation, simply establishing a C2 node full-time may not be viable. To ensure C2 node survival, commanders and staffs must be ready to execute operations with degraded capabilities and breaks in communication. To facilitate C2 node flexibility, units must synchronize deployment of the Tactical Command Post, TAC, to the same degree as the MCP. An additional consideration when planning for the BN TAC are its manpower requirements, which come out of hide. BNs are not currently resourced to run full-time TACs and are usually led by the S3 with representatives from S2, S3, and fire cell sections. This means extended TAC deployments have a cost. With key players physically separated from the MCP, planning for future operations, FUOPs, and general situational awareness of the status of all WFF suffers. Regardless of how often or for how long the TAC deploys forward, BN planners and commanders must establish which roles and responsibilities each C2 node assumes beyond the baseline roles and responsibilities referenced in Army Techniques Publication ATP 3-90.5, Combined Arms Battalion, 5 February 2016, and ATP 6-0.5, Command Post Organization and Operations, 1 March 2017. Units must balance their personnel, systems, and mission requirements. Ultimately, what matters is units clearly communicate, train, and practice the various roles of CPs and how they interact. Lastly, units must plan for and synchronize the Combat Trains Command Post, CTCP, Unit Maintenance Collection Point, Role 1, and FSC locations and displacements. Occasionally during LISCO, the FLOT quickly moves forward, outpacing the capabilities of these key nodes to support the BN. Initial positioning close to the FLOT and deliberate transition points to jump these nodes forward allows units to maintain necessary fighting capability. Conclusion: LISCO are usually lethal, fast-paced, and stress systems far more than many units expect. Fighting in LISCO begins with a stark assessment of enemy capabilities and an understanding of where enemy forces begin to achieve effects and with which weapon systems, to include chemical weapons and air assets. Units must also recognize the scale and scope of casualties and equipment damage and destruction in LISCO. An ill-prepared unit that is not trained on individual and collective tasks across all WFFs struggles to survive, much less succeed and win.